Hello again, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins, who will be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. We'll be taking a small two-week break after this, but I hope you enjoy. So, welcome everybody here, and I've got some good tracks lined up for you now. Before we begin, I think I'll just say that I've been trying to sharing the word about BitNote, and if you like BitNote, please share the word with other people. We're actually on our 90th episode, so it just shows how good it's gone. But of course, in telling everyone about BitNote, I've gotten some responses back, and there've been a lot of good ones, but also some song requests, because of course, you know, what is BitNote without some video game music? I mean, it would just be me talking about video games, and which is kind of what it do a lot in the show anyway. But anyway, I think we can all agree that a good bit of video game music really helps liven things up. And one track I've got for you now is actually one of my requests was about Jet Set Radio. I've actually played music on the show before, but it was Everybody Jump Around by Richard Jacks. But it turns out that the person who actually composes most of the music in a... I didn't actually play the music from Jet Set Radio by the guy who actually composes most of the music in this game, who of course... So I decided it's time to put an end to that. And also, I've actually got a minor excuse for why it's okay to bring it up. Because even though I don't always revisit games, but I've got a reason for this one. But I think I'll just play this track and bring up the little reason for afterwards. So enjoy this track and have a listen.
Let's look at the funk.
Could you stop playing with that radio, y'all? I'm trying to get to sleep. Could you stop playing with that radio, y'all? I'm trying to get to sleep.
Look at the funk.
And what you've just heard there was Let Mom Sleep. It is from the video game Jet Set Radio, developed by Sega, and originally released on the Sega Dreamcast. And, of course, the music there was composed by Hideki Naganuma, And he composed a lot of great music from Jet Set Radio as well. Now, as I said, there was kind of a reason. Since I played the track originally on the show, it turned out Jet Set Radio actually got a re-release. And now, this is ages ago, but, you know, since I'm bringing it up and everything, it was released, I believe, on the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3, and the PC, I believe. And it has a digital download. So, you know, on the Xbox, you go to Xbox Arcade. On PlayStation 3, you go to the PlayStation Store. And on the PC, you just go to Steam, because... or whatever sort of system works. So essentially, if you want to play some Jet Set Radio, you don't actually need to buy a Dreamcast. I mean, that would be a great idea. And I know it's kind of... I know that the problem with a lot of games I mentioned is sometimes it's classic games and you need to find the original hardware and the game in order to play it, which, you know, if you're really dedicated and you're really willing to get a great bit of selection, that's a cool thing to do. But for a lot of people, it's kind of tricky, but now it's a lot easier. So just take it a look. You can play some classic retro gaming. And, oh, I completely forgot. For those who actually are not familiar with Jet Set Radio, it is a game in where you control a bunch of cel-shaded teenagers as they deface the city with graffiti. Now, I know that kind of puts you in the bad guy sort of villain sort of thing, but like with most sort of bad guy things, they actually manage to make you the good guys by making the people who are opposed to you even worse guys. So in this case, you're dealing with a detective with a terribly 70s hairstyle and an entire military force who's basically you know, sort of like a totalitarian government that's all trying to just take you down and prevent you from graffitiing and everything. So you stop being just a bunch of like hooligans defacing public property, and instead you become like the rebels, you know, the new generation who's rejecting the ways of the old and spreading artistic expression through their graffitiing ways. And they're doing this by, you know, playing music and pirate radio stations and graffiti and bright colors and everything, and showing that they're not going to stand for this, for the enforced values and the sterility and lack of expression of their forebears or stuff like that. And maybe I'm reading into it a bit much. But yeah, you check a rollerblader, and whoever that rollerblader is, or they go skating around, you jump, you can grind on stuff, you can jump through the air, sometimes you can graffiti a slab just as you do a backward somersault through the air. Everything's bright and colourful, you're dealing with some sort of like, you know, pristine, sort of like Japanese sort of cities and everything, and all these crazy locations, and in Neo Tokyo, and then a couple more that are based more in New York. And basically there's this whole vibe, a bit of energy and a groove to it, for lack of a better word. And yeah, so I'm just going to play one more track from that, also by Hideki Naganuma. It's called That's Enough, and then I'll move on to the next game. Have a listen and hope you enjoy. And there you have That's Enough by Hideki Naganuma from Jet Set Radio by Sega. So, on to our next game, actually. And I've noticed that I've got a bit of a theme that this episode songs are always a bit about recurring things or things from past episodes. Now, generally, I think when I started, one of my rules was that I wouldn't, you know, play music from a game and then later on I wouldn't play music from the same game. I've broken that at least on one occasion, but then again, the Chao music from Sonic Adventure is pretty awesome. But it was more so that I wouldn't just keep playing at the same like five songs from the same five video games over and over again, which is a fair point. But I've noticed something about it. Video games don't just stand still. I mean, you know, they get released and, you know, you think that's fine and I might play music from them. But sometimes even at that, they don't just stay the same the whole time. I mean, we've just listened to Jet Set Radio, a good example. That was released initially on the Dreamcast like over a decade ago. And then just, I think in the last year or so, it suddenly got a re-release on new platforms, same song. Similar thing has happened with this game, which I'll be playing next, called Octodad. I played the music from the original Octodad a while back. That was basically a project by a group of students. They created a fun game, and Essentially, it was a college project, ended quite abruptly, but it got a lot of fame and I talked about it. And now they've actually released a sequel entitled Octodad Dadliest Catch. It is being developed by Young Horses, but of course, one thing that they could not neglect in any way, shape or form is ensuring that they had a great new theme music for the sequel. So, what I'll be playing now is the Octodad theme for Octodad Dadliest Catch. It is called Octodad Nobody Suspects a Thing, and it is composed by Ian McKinney. So, I'll play that, then talk a bit more about the game itself. Have a listen. And by the way, the song, I think, really sums up some of the crazy humor in the Octodad game. But listen first.
Who's that man with the three-piece suit? Making a dough with the log and fruit. Sushi out of the Octodad. Run for your life. Spraying in his face.
And that was Octodad, start parenthesis, Nobody Suspects a Thing, end parenthesis, by Ian McKinney from Octodad, Dadliest Catch by Young Horses. Octodad started out as a student project from a college, but then after the project was finished and they released the game and they enjoyed it, some of those members from that project started off, and ironically it turned out to be about 8 members in total, and started Octodad Deadliest Catch, an official sequel. I gotta say, I like it. Like the first game, the whole game seems to be based around giving you the worst possible control of a character possible. You are basically, with a good premise, you are basically an octopus, but you are a loving father, caring husband, and secret octopus. You are an octopus, but your family doesn't know you're an octopus. Yes, you have a wife and children, but none of them, the perfectly human wife and children, and somehow, but you are an octopus. You're dressed in a 3-piece suit, and basically all your tentacles are done so, like, two of them make up one arm, 2 make up the other arm, and then the remaining 4 are divided among your 2 legs. So even though you don't actually have perfect motor control, even though it's extremely hard even to grasp a simple thing, even though something as simple as walking from one side of the room is the most awkward thing you imagine, where it's actually controlled by lifting one, swinging it around until it finally lands somewhere close to where you want, and then lifting the other one to do it in the same, somehow nobody catches on that you're an octopus, and despite your extremely sporadic control and pretty much everything else. And that's what the game is all about. It's basically a double sort of game where, in fact, your controls are very, very weird. Your mouse controls one leg at a time. You click one leg to lift one leg. You click the left mouse button to lift one leg or the right to lift the other. And I believe if you're on a console, it's got some old whole other system thing for the gamepad and the analog sticks. So you have micro-controlled control over his legs, and then you have to switch to controlling his hands and then reach out and try to catch something. And as when you're pulling it around, it might knock into other things. So the game kind of excels when you're put into rather mundane scenarios like cutting the grass or mowing the lawn or delivering hamburgers, and you realize, well, this would be, you know, if this game had a decent control scheme, you'd be able to do it no problem. Because you are controlling an octopus who's completely sporadic, doing the simplest things is likely to invite chaos and things tumbling down and everything crashing, whereas you just might manage to actually, you know, put all the items or cut the grass in the way you want. Through all this, you've got a suspicion meter. If people are watching you and you do crazy stuff like, say, knock vases over on the way down the wedding aisle procession or accidentally slip over bananas, then their suspicion gauge will raise until they finally suspect it enough and your secret is uncovered, in which case the game is revealed. So the whole thing is about you being an octopus, doing everything you can to make sure that no one sees that you're an octopus, whereas pretty much everything you've got is conspiring against you, and even doing completely mucking things up. You know, there's a decent margin of error. Even when you muck things up, there's still a lot of humor to be had. It's a fun game. And surprisingly enough, I've actually learned that a lot of people see a kind of a deeper message in it. Because, I mean, it's kind of an absurdist premise that no one's seeing that you're an octopus and you're doing all these crazy and absurd stuff. And you've even got a sushi chef who's demented on bringing you down. But through it all, some people actually see something they relate with, about a guy who's just trying to live his life, trying to do everything the best as he can. But he's got a deep, dark secret that he just doesn't feel he can tell anyone. And he puts so much effort to just act normal and cover everything up that, you know, put so much stress on it, but putting so much stress on himself, but still just doing everything he can to get through the day. And I don't know, that's pretty deep. I mean, I suppose that if a game can just help us to look at it in an absurd light and just appreciate just how crazy some of these things are, and that maybe it's not so bad that if people find you out you're an octopus, well, I think that just teaches, it's nice that a game can deliver on that note as well. But, you know, not everything in life has to be serious. You don't have to look for a serious interpretation of everything. Regardless of whether you look at it one way or another, Octodad is a very fun game, and you can buy it now on multiple platforms, and I hope you enjoy. Okay, to move on to our last track, as I said about resurgent tracks, I think that it's time to actually close a little story that I was talking, that kind of began. Well, I mean, as much of a story as I can. Each episode of the show is very disconnected from one another, but I am actually able to build a thread of a story, and here's one. In an earlier show, I played music, Turrican 2, the final fight theme from Turrican 2 by Chris Huselbeck, and I thought it was great, and I played the full version so that you would all listen to it, and I talked about how great it was. Then in a later show, I talked about how, wait a sec, Chris Huselbeck has actually done something more than just create the song. He's actually decided to start a Kickstarter so that he can get all the money he needs to create a fully revamped, full soundtrack edition of pretty much revamped edition of all the songs from the entire Turrican series. And it turned out they would try to get about $75,000, and they raised 250% more than they needed. So like it was over $170,000, and I talked about that too. Well, I'm happy to say that through a lot of things, through car accidents and underestimating the projects, and even making music boxes that play part of the themes, and even a couple of issues that I had where they had broken CD case boxes, but don't worry, they sent a replacement. Through so much sweat, toil, energy, and hard work, Chris Huzelbeck has finally released the entire four CD anthology, the Turrican Soundtrack Anthology, the full edition, everything revamped, everything revasted, official ultimate, and it's all thanks to Chris Huzelbeck, his dedication, the people who've helped him, and of course all the Kickstarter backers, including, and I put this modestly, me, because it was all thanks to our work and Kickstarter for raising the funds for this, for seeing this project through to completion. So with that, I will leave you by playing The Desert Rocks by Chris Huzelbeck from Turrican Soundtrack Anthology Volume 2, that's the second CD, which was originally from Turrican 2, The Final Fight by Factor 5 and Rainbow Arts. So, thank you for listening to BitNote. Thanks for everyone. I'll get back to you in 2 weeks. If you want to listen to old episodes, and I'm still uploading old ones, just go to bitnotefm.com or check out and listen live at dublinsouthfm.com. So I'll leave you with The Desert Rocks. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening.